Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back, Sports with the Max. That's not Boo, that's Pooh. Pooh Richardson, always fun to have him. The first-round draft pick of the Minnesota Timberwolves. Lives out in L.A., follows the game closely, and is nice enough to spend time with us regularly. Pooh, thanks for joining us tonight.
No problem. Thanks for having me. What's going on?
Hey, I want to start with UCLA, man. What did Steve Alford, how did that program get away from him? That's your alma mater, of course. I thought things were trending, all of a sudden I look, and they're going in the wrong direction, and he's out.
Well, it's one of those things where, you know, when you coach in a program like that, there's a high expectation. Anytime you have the high expectations, to other people, the standards are quite different when you have other universities. But when you have UCLA, you know, just being good is not good enough. They want you to be excellent. And when you start seeing other teams taking the mantle, going to Final Four appearances, championship appearances, and if so many years pass and UCLA not in that hunt, it becomes a problem. And then when you start adding off-the-court issues, which a lot of coaches don't have anything to do with the judgment or the decisions that some of the youngsters make, but, you know, it's still your program as a coach.
How did he not – why was he not able to sustain a high level of athlete coming out there? You know this better than I, but that's one of the greatest campuses in the country.
Well, I think largely was – I think he wasn't out enough locally.
Mm-hmm.
I think anytime you build a program that you go local first, and then you start branching yourself out, because that's where all your support going to come.
Yep.
So when things don't go so well, the locals are in your corner and sticking with you.
Yep.
And in return, you may give a scholarship to a kid that may not be, you know, quite good enough, but he's a good kid and he's the best player in that area. So uh-huh. I think that, you know, you have to place yourself in that kind of position.
Sure. Yeah. I guess. What's do you go to many games at Pauley Pavilion right now?
Yes, I go. I go a lot.
Do they get big crowds? What's it like right now?
Oh no, the crowds are great. You know, the crowds are great. UCLA have a really, really faithful following when it comes down to the basketball. You know, they're there, and you know, with the new building, which a few years old now, but with the new building, you know, a lot of good things is happening there, and I just think they feel that the program need to, you know, push upward,
yeah,
and be placed in a better position to be successful.
Timberwolves made a change in coaches. You played for Coach Tibbs. He was your assistant coach when you came into the league. What did you think when you heard they'd fired him and replaced him with Ryan Saunders?
Ryan's a good guy. I do know that. The apple don't fall far from the tree, quite naturally, you know, with Flip being his dad. I played for Tibbs. It was very direct, hard-nosed, worked hard, expect the best, and he pushes you, you know. And I don't know if that's the way of today's market. It's really a fine line because, you know, the guys need it, but you can't give them too much of it. You get what I'm saying?
Yep.
And that transition started, I would say, you know, was the group, I would say during my era, that transition started. So those kind of coaches were kind of not, you know, as acceptable as they were years ago.
Well, you started getting long-term guaranteed contracts, right?
Yeah. And they're very lucrative contracts, I may add. So, you know, what I think it's more or less now when you coaching, it's more about managing, partnership. Because what you want to do is get the guys in the best position to be successful, not only as individuals, but as a team. So a lot of times massaging works, compromising works, and then sometimes you got to lay down the rules and lay down the hammer, and that works. But you just can't be one way all the time, because if you're one way all the time, you become predictable. It becomes the same old story, and then you the kids lose interest, or let's just say the young men lose interest.
And you know, this is where I get confused. Like they say, Tibbs was too much of a hard ass. That's what they'll say. And then they say Freddie Hoiberg got fired in Chicago because he was too soft or too much of a player's coach. How do you meet that in the middle? If you know, how do you take your personality and find a way to conform to both?
Easy. You take it, like, let's say, for instance, that the Timberwolves were interested, which I hear they are, in Fred Hoiberg. Then Fred would probably hire more or less an old school kind of assistant coach who he gives a lot of authority to kind of, you know, crack the whip a little bit.
Yep.
You know, I think you go in that direction, or, you know, and they talk about people for the job, you know, I would look at Mark Jackson myself.
Yeah. What I only see him on TV. You know him and you played against him. What do you think of it?
Well, I think, you know, it's a buy. See, Mark Jackson's work is the byproduct you see now in the Golden State Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, back then, Mark drafted all those guys.
Yeah.
He drafted all those guys. He developed, I can't give him credit for developing Steph, but he was a major part of his development. You know, I think in certain ways, and me being down visiting the team a little while ago, a couple months ago.
Yeah.
I see a lot of Golden State in those guys, those young guys. I see the nucleus. I see, D. Rose is kind of coming back around to his old self a little bit. I like Tyus. He's learning a lot. I think he's going to be very, very good. And, you know, Wiggins and, I mean, just you, Cat, Towns. I mean, you have some pieces there. If you can just keep those guys together, and I just think you kind of have a coach that's there, that's innovative, that probably developed those kind of talents before and make a mesh. You know, that's why the first person that came to my mind was Mark Jackson. And that situation, just for me, you know what I'm saying? Not saying that Freddie Hoiberg is bad. I'm sure he's tremendous. If you're talking about a person who's proven to be able to take talent, develop it, put it on display, and it comes to fruition, then you know that Mark's, I mean, that's a no-brainer.
You know, Derrick Rose, on Friday night, they set up a play for him to try to shoot a three to tie it against San Antonio. Now, granted, they're looking for a three, so it's a little bit different. Then Sunday, they give him the ball, and they say, go win it, and he does against the Phoenix Suns with the last-second shot. What is, does that have any effect on a Wiggins and a Towns if your first option is a guy that you've just kind of, you know, you've reborn his career, in essence, has been reborn with the Timberwolves, and he's a, you know, minimum contract guy, even though he's a former MVP, all those things. Does that have an effect negatively or positively in the locker room?
Well, it really depends on how Derek carries himself in the locker room, and I'm sure he carries himself as a leader. You know, he wears emotions on his sleeves. You know, he's not a guy who's going to, you know, tell you one thing and do something else. I did have a chance to spend some time with D-Rose, so I know, you know, that much about him. And I think having a guy like that who have had those experience is very important for your locker room. I think Cat and Wiggins continue to develop, I think they will be able to step right in, and then I think D-Rose will probably take a little bit of a backseat to those guys without a problem, because he's been around, he understands the future is those young guys, and, you know, like I said, it all depends on how D-Rose is carrying himself in the locker room, which I'm gonna put it that he handled himself well, so I'm sure the guys are happy actually for him. And the fact of the matter, they know they got a guy who's done it before, and he's still good enough, and he's still, you know, young enough to continue to win some games for you.
If you're a general manager, do you want Jimmy Butler on your team or not?
You know, honestly, yeah. I'm on my team, but, you know, I'm going to be a different kind of general manager, though. You know, it's our organization, so it would be he's not calling no shots. But, you know, I would have him there because he's such a talent, and you know that he will bring stability to the guys, and I would just, you know, I think a lot of those guys with strong personalities like that, I think you have to surround in your organization people who can relate to those guys and talk to them. And, you know, normally when you have ex-players around your organization, things normally go kind of smooth
mm-hmm.
because they pretty much respect those guys. And those ex-player guys can basically tell them guys how it is and how it's going to go down. And believe it or not, your guys listen.
So they'll listen to a former player, you're saying?
All day.
Yeah.
All day long. I mean, that's an unwritten rule.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, we think about, okay, Ryan Saunders is young as head coach. Sidney Lowe was really young when he became a head coach. Of course, you played with him as well. The difference was Sidney had played in the NBA. Big difference?
No. I think nowadays, I think you got good coaches that study the game, been around the game. I mean, you're talking Ryan. Come on, man. His life has been basketball.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look at his dad. Look at Flip. You know, I mean, things has been, he understands it. He knows it. And it's all about if that's a position you want to have him, you know, take over and have a relationship with guys already because he's been there and maybe bringing some other guys in to help, you know, whatever it may be. I don't see that's being, you know, I'm never against hiring within. At all, but if you decide to go out, you got to go out and get a person who's probably already developed that talent because, you know, Cat and those guys have to continue to develop, have to be on a fast track to development because, you know, you kind of want to get in those playoffs.
Yeah, yeah. Jeff Teague's out tonight with some illness. I don't know what. Tyus Jones out with a sprained ankle. So that means tonight specifically against Phoenix, I assume Derrick Rose is going to have to play an awful lot of point guard. Where's your danger zone here when you get into that situation?
Well, you know, your danger zone is that, you know, you kind of want to do the best you can to monitor his minutes because he had a few awful injuries.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they were career-ending injuries. And, you know, this NBA schedule and the plan, now, quite naturally, no, I'm not complaining about it. It gives you a great life. Don't get me wrong. But it's a lot demanding on your body, especially when you're playing large amounts and high level of minutes and the expectation to perform every minute on the floor that you're out there and you carry a lot of the burden. That's a lot, especially when you've been injured and you just get you kind of finding your way right now.
Last question. You're out there in LA and the Wolves will play LA on Thursday night. Where's LeBron at right now, status wise? And how do you feel about the Lakers?
You know, I think the Lakers are they solid with him.
Mm-hmm.
Without him, they the same team they were last year.
Yeah,
I just think when you start getting and this is something I talked to Byron Scott about because he used to have these things. When you start getting nagging injuries, hamstrings,
yep,
calf pulls, groins, and you're an explosive athlete. And you play the game from in the air, like LeBron do a lot. Those things can hinder you for the rest of your career.
Yep, and you got to be really careful, don't you?
Yeah,
because it's hard to know when to come back from a hamstring injury.
Exactly, because it tricks you.
Yep,
you know it tricks you because one day you feel great, you move around, you can do all these things, and then you make one slight burst move, and all of a sudden you're back to square one again.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the difficulty of, and then if you go and play, let's say for instance you play and you feel good, you look good in practice, then you make one bad move and all of a sudden, ooh, you're hurting again. Then the next day you feel good in practice, but you can't play the game. And yep. It's just back and forth. So it's almost like you got to take extra time to reassure and to make sure that, you know, you're 100% to the point where you might have to get too much rest. But,
yeah,
you know, at least you're being sure, because without him, they don't go anyplace.
No, it's one and they got one shot at this thing. Hey, Pooh, I can't thank you enough. Always appreciate having you on. Thank you for making time for us, and really enjoy your insights.
Never a problem, man. Anytime, you know that.
You bet. Pooh Richardson. That's not Boo, that's Pooh. The first round draft pick of the Minnesota Timberwolves. Take a break. Come back. Taking you up to game time. The Wolves in Phoenix, right here on WCCO. Your home to Timberwolves basketball. Welcome back, Sports with Max. Al Malmer will come on after the game, but it's the Timberwolves and the Phoenix Suns not far away in the desert. They lost last time they were out there, and that, among other things, contributed to Tom Thibodeau's dismissal, because at the time, Phoenix was the worst team in the West. They still are, really. Timberwolves will try to make things right tonight, but as I mentioned, two point guards out. So, Derrick Rose, get ready, man. Get those high tops fastened, because you're going to be playing a lot tonight. Sports the Max back after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.